You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Michael K. is on the radio today. What he's thinking.
It's the Michael K. Show.
Michael K. is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
Yep, it's here. It is here, everybody. It's March 1st. February in the rearview mirror. March 1st, 2024. Getting closer. I don't know to what, but we're getting closer. Day to day, we get closer.
Yep, always one day closer to something.
Yep, beautifully said. Michael, Don, Peter, people wondering why Peter and I didn't work yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we found a hidden codicil in the contract that we only work 28 days in February. So every 4 years, right, we get the 29th off. Don, his people did not have the foresight to put that in there, so he had to work. But I'm sure he was fine because he got to work with Dan, right, Don?
I'll tell you what, listen, I'm not even going to say it. Anthony, what kind of show was it yesterday?
I think they're going to write about it.
It was terrific.
I don't know who they are.
Oh, you were terrific.
I think the show, Dan and I were terrific. The show was terrific.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, Don.
Yes.
And I should have asked you this off the air. Did they let you drive yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That might have had something to do with it.
They won't let you drive with Peter.
Right.
No way.
It's like with Peter's eyesight, he shouldn't be driving anyway, but they let him drive. Interesting.
I was told that the reason that I drove is because it would be odd to have somebody who's not normally on the show drive.
I agree.
And I said, all right, that makes sense.
I do. I agree.
And I said, I still should drive instead of Peter.
Right.
But they disagree.
I think you should drive instead of me. I'm fine with it. I'll just sit back.
I don't like it. I like Don in the two spot. That's where I want him every day. I want him a shooting guard.
Like Juan Soto.
No, you just hole. Yeah, the two hole, if you will. I want him getting up his threes. You want him catching in motion and stroking. Pause.
But we had a lot. We touched on everything. We kind of stumbled on to like a really cool segment where fans got to call in about something significant in sports that happened that they had to miss because of like a wedding or a date or something like that. And that was kind of fun. And it was just overall just a great show. We did an extra 30 minutes. That got up to 7 o'clock.
Wow, bonus time.
See, right? I tell you what, Peter, you can't leave him alone. We're contracted to do 3 to 6:30, and then he becomes Mr. Like Charity. I'll do another half hour.
Well, no. Yeah, why not? He's happy to do it.
The logic.
Yeah, whatever. Tell us the logic, Don.
Take us through it.
I think Michael will agree, and I think a lot of people will be able to empathize with this because it probably happens in their work. They always have an answer. Like even if it's not the answer, there's a answer. And the logic was, well, Dan would have had to do 6:30 to 7 anyway,
right,
to bridge the gap between us and the Knick game, so why not just have the show continue to 7?
So why would I agree with that?
I mean, I guess I could have walked. But
you
know,
want to spend as much time with Dan as possible.
Well, I enjoyed it. And I tried to get a meal going after the show. But it didn't happen for the strangest of reasons. Apparently, Dan's wife, Natasha, who I believe it's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Natasha, overcooked chicken. When I say overcooked, meant cooked too much chicken.
Right.
And he had to go home to have the leftovers because they didn't want the chicken to go bad.
That sounds like a guy who doesn't want to hang with you.
As I've said, you know, like there's always an answer. It may not be the answer, but it's
a
answer.
That's a really poor
that, that's
answer.
That is rough.
That's not
that is
good.
Rough.
That's the equivalent of my dog ate my homework or I have to wash my hair.
You know, Peter, sometimes we make a mistake that, like, Dan loves Don as much as Don loves Dan. I think that's the case now.
Yeah,
Dan,
you might be right.
I don't know this, but I would venture to guess that there's a lot of relationships that I'm in
right,
that I love more than reciprocated.
Like, I mean, Nancy's one of them, right?
I think I'm in a lot of unbalanced relationships.
I mean, Gunling never liked you that much, and you loved him.
No, I do. I think, honestly, I think Andrew could take me or leave me,
yeah,
and I love the guy. I think Dan cares more about me than that, but I probably care more about him.
And I actually think, you're going to be surprised, I care more about you than you care about me.
That's possible.
Yeah, yeah.
That is possible.
Yeah. I care about both of you more than you guys care about me.
No,
that's
not true.
True.
Yes,
that's
it
not
is. True.
No.
Yes, I would say I'm Peter, doing the accordion. Yes, it is.
I think my relationship with Peter is probably one of the more balanced ones I have.
What do you mean? You don't love me that much?
No, he loves you.
You know I love you back.
Well, I thought that we love each other equally, but now I'm concerned the way you answered that. So
no, I'm
so
concerned. I think I'm the only one
that you're comfortable saying that you don't like that much. Interesting.
No, I love you.
But I like you more.
I mean, if you feel that way, I don't agree. Right. I think we're equal. I think we can take and leave both of each other.
Let's talk maybe one day. Let's talk a little Knickerbocker, shall we?
I think we shall.
Do it.
I don't think it's going to be a special year. I don't think it's going to be Eastern Conference Finals because even if they get these guys back, it's impossible to turn a switch on and be back to where you were in January. You know, in January they were what, 16-2 or 14-2?
Yeah.
Now they were 4-8 in February, and the games they won by the skin of their teeth. And then yesterday they fall behind 14-0, essentially play even the rest of the way. But I'm sorry, you fell behind 14-0, and take a look at the box score. You know, Josh Hart's playing 47 minutes. I think he sat down for 45 seconds. Now, we all hate load management, but there's also a happy medium there. So he's in the best shape probably of any Knick, but you play guys like that, they are going to break down. So while you're trying to squeeze win after win, they're one game out of the seventh spot, by the way. One. So they're in fourth place, and they're one game from dropping into the play-in.
Right.
And I'm sorry, the reinforcements are not coming anytime soon. It's probably 3 weeks from now we see Anunoby, and then shortly after that, Randall. And you think they're just going to be up to snuff right away? Well, I think that by putting the pedal to the metal the way Tibbs has had to, I'm not blaming him. I mean, they have to play somebody, right? They're going to wear out the guys that they're playing right now. They're not going to be as effective. So, listen, I thought at the end of January this was going to be a dream season.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's going to be a surprise if it's a dream season.
Well, I had said it, I think it was like a couple of weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago when all this stuff started happening. I said, I think the championship's off the table. Now, it was going to be a long shot anyway, but I do think that fans were like legitimately excited there could have been a serious run. I believed for a while now that was off the table. And now championship was replaced by maybe the conference final, maybe, if things break the right way. But even now, for all the reasons you said, Michael, these guys that are healthy are going to have to kill themselves to win every game. And you look at that Pistons game as a microcosm of the struggle it's going to be night in and night out, where no game is going to be a given, and there's not going to be any opportunities for any load management or taking guys out of blowout games in the fourth quarter unless you're the one being blown out. I mean, in all likelihood, they're going to lose in Cleveland on Sunday. Then that's three in a row. All right, they should be able to beat the Hawks. The Hawks are struggling. They just lost to Brooklyn last night. But the wins are going to be few and far between. And when they get these guys back, there's only 20 games left in the season, right? Or 22 games left. There's only going to be a handful of games for them to be able to build any kind of chemistry going into the playoffs. And, Michael, they were playing out of their minds when the deal was first made. Is that then the expectation? They're just going to pick up from where they left off?
It's hard to do that, man.
It's so hard. And OG's only just shooting now. He's not been cleared for contact. So when can we illogically expect him back? In 2 weeks? We still haven't heard any timetable for Julius Randle. Michael, they'll make the playoffs, but boy, you're right. It's starting to really look like it's going to be a struggle to stay out of the play-in.
And it's through no fault of the way the team was put together. And it's through no fault of any medical people. They suffered odd injuries. Anunoby had a bone chip. Nobody could prevent that. Julius Randle fell down. You know, he tripped and fell down over somebody coming down, I think, after a rebound. Separated his shoulder. And if you read a story today in the New York Post, I forget who the player was, but a player who's now a broadcaster, I'll look it up, but said this is going to be something that's it's going to bother him. Like, this guy said that when he played, it was on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst pain. He was in pain from like an 8 to 9 every time he played. Channing Frye, thank you, Jacob. And he said it was 8 or a 9 every single day. Now, the only difference was it was Channing Frye's shooting arm, and it's not Julius's shooting arm, thank God. But it unless you surgically repair it, it's always going to be susceptible to popping out anyway. Now, remember, at the beginning of the season, after he had the ankle surgery, it takes a long time for him to get his game together, get his timing down. So if he joins at the end of March, Don, what is he going to be in the playoffs? He's never had great playoffs anyway for different reasons. So now you're going to ask him to be top prime 25-10
when they
get into play. I don't think it's going to happen, everybody. I hate to say it because you all know that I want it to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen now.
How long was that stretch in the beginning of the season that was bad for Randle? It was a good couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, you can't afford to have that, because if it ends up being like in a playoff round, then it could be a very early exit. And you're right. Normally we can rip the Jets for not having a legit plan B. You can rip the Yankees for maybe not going out and getting players when there were injuries or getting the right players. I mean, there's always a little bit of blame that goes to the team. I don't know how you blame anybody. It's just one of those things. It stinks. Just one of those things.
Josh Hart said after the game, "I'm not sure what you all expect or what you all think. We are playing as best as we can with the bodies that we have. We have guys like OG, Julius, Mitchell, who've been out a long time. We're playing our butts off. It's not like we're just sitting there and crying about injuries and laying down." And he's right. Nobody's saying it. Nobody's whipping the guys on this team. They're playing undermanned, understaffed, and they're missing their starting front court. They just are. That's their starting front court. Anunoby, Randle, and Mitchell. Now, they can live without Mitchell because they've got enough depth there with Hartenstein and with Jericho Sims, and even Precious Achiuwa has been an undersized like big man. But so they can cover that. But it's hard to cover 25 and 10 and the defense that Anunoby gives you. So I just think that as they're trying to get it all back together and the injured players come back, they're going to be losing a lot of games. They might drop into the play-in, and it would be a crying shame. I think it's going to happen, and it will be a crying shame that a season that had such high expectations and legitimate expectations, not that we were going crazy, that we were going nuts about this and overstating the case. They were good, man. They could have made a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, but the injuries, I think, have undermined them, and I think it's going to be hard to crawl out from under.
I mean, it's going to take a lot. Now, this team does have a lot of dog in them, and maybe there's in
some have dog.
D-A-W-G, right?
Right.
Not D-O-G.
No, I think what people know what we're talking about.
Okay.
In a positive sense, that they'll scrap and they'll claw, and you like that about this team, and they're going to have to do that, but that comes at a price. It comes at really having to wear yourself down to where it'll be ironic that when they get back healthy, the guys that were healthy might be dragging. When it comes time, and you worry about Brunson, is he going to get hurt because of how much he gives, how many minutes he plays to kind of make this work? We already know Hartenstein's not going to be 100% likely for the rest of the season, but he's going to be asked to do a lot of heavy lifting until Mitchell comes back. Will Mitchell Robinson come back, and when will he come back? I mean, there's just so many ifs. It is so crazy.
And it's such a killer. Just as I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, when you think about the promise of this season, guys, this is just such a killer place to be, because you're sitting there looking at 10 over 500 still, and you're going, wow, this team is still 10 over 500. Guys, if we had, if a year ago or 6 months ago you'd said, hey, when March starts, there'll be 10 games over 500, guys, we would have all taken it with no hesitation. It would have been like offering Michael living till 98. It's something you'd actually take. But
I'd have to think.
Yeah, you'd have to think maybe you go 105. You don't know. But when you see the 10 over 500 on March 1st, but you also realize how deep the problems still go, and know that in all likelihood, guys, we're going to take a nap and they're going to be only 5 games over 500. It's just hard to enjoy. And I just can't get out of this injury curse in this town out of my head.
It's terrible. It's awful. I don't like it at all. So let's see what they have the rest of the way, or at least in March. Okay, so they got Cleveland on Sunday. That's March 3rd.
Then at
they're in
Cleveland,
Atlanta.
Fun.
Yeah, it's at Cleveland. Then Atlanta at home. Atlanta is not the same team. The Nets destroyed them yesterday, so they should be okay. Then Orlando on March 8th. Then Philadelphia on March 10th. Then Philadelphia again on March 12th. Then Don's favorite team, Portland. Then Sacramento. Golden State in Golden State. That's in Sacramento as well. Then at Denver. That's a tough West Coast swing.
Which, by the way, though, had they been full strength, Michael,
you like on that chances. West
Coast. Oh, you Don, if they're healthy, Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, Denver, you're thinking, oh, we should go 3-1 on this trip. Now you're going to be fighting to go 1-3.
Now, if you want to have positive vibes here, right, then there's a stretch toward the end of March when Anunoby should be back and maybe Randall. You've got Brooklyn at the Garden. You got Detroit at the Garden. You're at Toronto. You're at San Antonio. Those are all winnable games. Then you play Oklahoma City, then at Miami, Sacramento, the Bulls, Milwaukee, the Bulls again, Boston, Brooklyn, and they finish with Chicago on April 14th. So you hope that Anunoby and Randall get back at the end of March and they have a three-week spread and that they can get right. I just don't know if you could turn it on that quick.
Now, they can get right, but how much of a hole did they dig themselves, and will there be enough time for them to get out of it? Because if you sink to like the 7 or 8 seed, yeah, you might play well, but you know, now 3 or 4 is off the table, home court's off the table, and now you're just fighting to stay out of the play-in, which might, at the end of the season, you're right, look like an accomplishment. Maybe they go into the postseason hitting the ground. I mean, that's the positive, I guess, you can look at. Just survive it. Survive in advance, right? Just get to a point where you're healthy. Don't dig yourself too big of a hole, and maybe you have a fresh, hot team going into the postseason that can make a run like Miami did last year.
All right, let's take some phone calls. 1-800-919-3776. We're going to have a blast here on the Friday edition of the show, and we'll go all the way out to Southern California. Mark is there. Mark.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Good. Thanks for having me on. One thing I want to say before I start is I really appreciate how you let your callers speak and give them a little time. The one thing I want to discuss, well, you basically covered a lot of about the Knicks and surviving. The one thing that really got to me last night was that a guy that was calling the game with Stan Van Gundy said the Knicks passed up on Steph Curry. That really got to me. And I was like, how could he say that if he evidently didn't do his homework?
Who was that? Was that Brian Anderson?
I'm not sure who it was.
I was surprised. Because the Knicks didn't pass. The Golden State Warriors grabbed them right before the Knicks picked. The Knicks were going to pick them. So they didn't pass them. That was a bad look.
Yeah, and the other
It was Brian Anderson, who's a friend, and I think he's one of the great broadcasters in our country. That's unusual for him to make a mistake like that.
That's why it got to me, because I was like, this guy is not – he's not just one of the –
No, he's good.
A shoo-in. He's good, yeah. The other thing, Don, I have to say this why you got me on the phone. I love you. I'm a fellow Jerseyan. I'm originally from East Orange, New Jersey.
Okay. Beautiful.
You know you on TV. The reason why I say that is because this is the reason why. You know how you have that watch in front of you and you're going, you know, side to side and it kind of hypnotizes you? Mm-hmm. Well, you do that with your pen.
And does it hypnotize you?
It sometimes draws me to your pen. And I'm looking at you when you're shaking your pen. But you did explain something when it came to your dad. When you did that, I said, you know what? That's okay. Don, keep swinging the pen. Mike, you should let that beard grow a little bit more and just keep it trim and neat like Peter, I love your wife, because after you got married, I noticed your dressing, she stepped you up in your game.
She did. She picked me up a notch. She did. I appreciate that. Thank you, man.
People don't realize Don's playing the long game. If you're watching the show on Yes, he's hypnotizing you. He's going to get your pin numbers. I mean, he is going to be able to like take over the world at some point. Everybody who's watching will fall under his spell.
It's an issue. I don't know what it is. I'm sure I can go see somebody that would be able to correct it. But the reason I don't is I just don't care.
Peter, you think BetterHelp could help him with this?
I don't know if it's something he thinks that it would be a part of his life that he needs to improve upon, then absolutely.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Danny in Orlando. Danny.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
What's going on, man?
So I'm 36. This is the most fun I've had watching the Knicks since I was 11 with the lockout season where they went to the finals against the Spurs up until these injuries. And it breaks my heart to even ask you this question, but I want your opinion. Do you think they should just cut their losses with Julius Randle this year and just get him surgery as soon as possible and sit him and have him fresh for next year rather than possibly come back and re-injure that, especially with the type of bully ball he plays?
It's not an awful question, Danny, but first of all, I don't think that he will do it. And second of all, I don't think it's the right move for the Knicks, because if he plays and he re-injures himself, if you have that surgery, it's about a five-month rehab. So he should be ready for the beginning of the season. I think, you know, there's so much promise to this season if everybody's healthy. I don't think you just give it up. You know, the doctors wouldn't let him play if they thought that he could have an opportunity to really hurt himself worse. So, no, I don't think you have the surgery unless you definitely have to have the surgery. Now, if it pops out again, then you're going to have the surgery. And Channing Frye said eventually you will have to have the surgery. He played a whole year after just rehabbing it. He said, you know, if everybody got in the building at 9 o'clock in the morning, get ready for 1 o'clock game, he'd have to get there at 8 just to do stretches and strengthening exercises. So you have to have a commitment. And Julius Randle is the type of guy that is committed to being great.
Right.
So he's going to be, he'll put in the work. And I think he's a tough enough guy that'll take the pain. We'll see how it affects him on the court. But no, I don't think he should have the surgery now. Because if he had to, they would tell him to do it. Let's go to Tyler. He's in Brick. Tyler. Ty.
Hey, sorry, guys.
What's up?
Just wanted to give Don his flowers for yesterday. I mean, I listened to the entire show. It's crazy. When you guys, like, recount stories, you'll say, 5 years ago, and I remember it. I can't believe I've been a listener for that long, but I just wanted to give Don his flowers. Thank you. And it was amazing yesterday.
He was that good?
He kept it on the entire show.
Wow. Don's love of Dan that made him that great, or just he's just great on his own volition? No, he's gone.
Well, I think people need to realize, and I think a lot of people need to realize this, that as great as we are together, that there is talent beyond Michael K. That's a message to everybody, that there's talent around Michael. It's not just about Michael.
Wow.
And if you listen to the show instead of just see the name on the show, you would realize that. But there's a lot of people, Peter, that don't bother. And those are people that I have no time for.
I know, Don. I know.
And you know, I don't have to worry about it because the people that I'm aiming that at, they're not
listening.
Anyway.
Problem solved.
Let's go to Tim in Westchester. Or Westchester. What's up,
Westchester.
Tim?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Just wanted to say, Don, great show yesterday. You sounded happier than ever.
Wow.
We bring them down.
Michael, you know you bring them down, but it's also for entertainment, so we love that. Peter, I think you probably didn't listen to the show. He kept calling Dan Peter, which was kind of funny in the beginning.
Times, Peter.
Wow.
Really?
He doesn't think of me at all when I'm not there. But
no,
Peter,
you're dead as a doornail.
Well, that's because you talk too much, Michael, and need to get Peter involved. But my other note was, I think Anthony Pusick needs to get at least one or two ENNs every week. I mean, Peter, like, I'm not one of these homers that, like, I like you regardless of politics, right? I like you. I listen to the show because of you, I like you. But I think he should get more involved. Like, there's other shows where they bring in producers, and, you know, Anthony is really good. So, wow. I mean,
maybe it's time for me. Maybe that's the answer.
No, it's not time. It's not time. I just think, you know, and then one more point real quick. I just wanted to bring up, so, you know, Ryan Clark put up this whole social media, I'm not really even sure where it was, Instagram, Twitter, about, you know, new contract, working less, getting paid more. And I just feel like he was playing the Michael K playbook after this past year, you know, in terms of the summer and the Yankees, you know, obviously there's a lot of replacements, but I think, Michael, you showed Ryan Clark the way, and, you know, he got his money now. So,
well, first of all, Tim, I'm flattered. I mean, you've said a lot. There's a lot to unpack there. I talk too much. I don't even talk as much as Don. But second of all, I didn't have any playbook. We talked about stuff jokingly on the air. Ryan Clark went out and did like a long, I don't know if it was an Insta post or something on Twitter that, you know, he negotiated in full view. I never did that. I mean, I'm thrilled to be back. I love this place. Love it. I didn't get any concessions. I didn't get to work less. In fact, they didn't want me to take that 10 weeks off in the summer. So that was negotiated out.
And as far as Peter with ENN, it sounds like the caller was suggesting that maybe a little load management and have Anthony come off the bench once a week.
I think most people listening to the show would say that I'm already handling load management quite well.
Yeah, but Don, think about this. Let's talk this through.
Let's talk turkey.
If you take Peter off of ENN for 2 days out of five.
Now, I don't talk all week then.
That's like saying to Steph Curry, you know what? Shelve the three-pointer.
Yeah,
two out of five games. Well, I mean, what is Peter if he doesn't do ENN?
Yeah, thank you.
He contributes a tremendous amount to the show beyond 6 o'clock.
But it is
It's a tough ask.
I think contractually I'd have to push back there.
Although Anthony, I know, is pushing behind the scenes to get the whole ENN franchise.
Is that true?
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't believe that.
No, ask him.
I did lose money.
What do you mean? Oh, that is true. Well, wait, no, they're not going to give you more money. What are you, crazy?
No.
They pay him more for every ENN he does.
Is that true?
Yeah,
right.
Hey, listen up. It's Michael K. When it comes to travel, nothing beats Legends Limousine. I felt the difference, and let me tell you, it's real. When my family and I need a ride to the airport or out of town, we choose Legends. Their commitment to safety makes every trip a breeze. These guys are not just any service. They've been setting the gold standard for over 30 years. I trust them, and so should you. Call 1-888-LEGENDS. That's 1-888-534-3637. Again, 1-888-534-3637, and use the code ESPN10, ESPN the number 10, to snag 10% off. Travel like a legend with Legends Limousine.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people are so unbelievably creative. I don't even know if Peter and Don have seen this. So there's a kid by the name of Robbie Avila.
Okay.
And he's a 6'10" sophomore center for Indiana State. And he's probably the best player in Indiana State since a kid named
LB?
Larry Bird. And the Sycamores are playing so well because this guy's playing so great. The Sycamores are 25-5. And yesterday they beat Evansville.
Oh, throw out the record books.
Avila had 35 points, and the rest of his line was off the charts. Now, Avila is a big, chunky kid, and he wears goggles. So the internet has given him really one of the great nicknames of all time.
Wait, what's his name again?
His name is Robbie Avila. It has nothing to do with that.
Bob Vila.
No. His nickname is Cream Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, that's like somebody on the internet just, that's chef's kiss. It's perfect.
I mean,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But I mean, you're only going to be able to run with that as like a fun nickname on social media. You're not making a shirt.
Why not?
It just doesn't work.
I think you're wrong.
I know I'm right. You can't, it has a full name. Don, you said it's too long. It's too, like,
way it works. You can't call him Kareem. Now, obviously, he's a white guy. That's why he's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No, it's funny, but I just don't think it's usable in a real way. Like the way a true nickname gets used when it happens.
I think this will be used. I think you're wrong.
Don, what do you think?
And I think you're embarrassing your family.
Well, I like it. I don't know if I like it as much as Michael likes it, but I do like it.
You got to call him up and look at him, too. He doesn't look like a guy who's going to drop 35 points.
I can't believe Indiana State has a good team.
It only took him 40 years to rebuild after Larry.
That was a long time, man. That is a long, long time.
And, you know, those are my, I guess most basketball fans would know, but, you know, Larry was at Indiana. Did not like playing for Bobby Knight and came home. Quit basketball.
I always felt, and he's no longer with us, unfortunately, but the best nickname in sports that I thought, Peter, was the Jared Lorenzen, one of his nicknames.
The Pillsbury Throw Boy.
The Pillsbury Throw Boy.
That's very good.
Quarterback for the Giants.
But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is not.
No, well, I like it.
But even Pillsbury Throw Boy, you're not running with it. It's just a thing people, you know, say.
There's another nickname, apparently, guys. Someone just called up and told me.
What's
I
that?
Just looked it up. Larry Blurred.
That's even better.
So, that's sure.
But by the way, that's better.
Why is that better?
Because
Larry Blurred.
Because it's playing into what he looks like with the glasses, and he goes to Indiana State. That right. It makes more sense.
Well, it's just the reaction Peter and I had when we heard it tells you that it's better.
Yeah, Larry Blurred is strong. That's very... Now we're talking.
I agree. That's really good.
How tall is this kid? Like
6'10"? Yeah. 240. It looks like 240 might be a myth.
You think he looks that much bigger?
I think he might be closer to 260.
I'm watching him play right now. It's an interesting game he seems to be playing here.
Larry Blurred, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Alvin in the truck. Alvin!
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on with you?
I'm here in the truck, you know, enjoying the show, enjoying you guys, making my day a little bit better, you know?
Thank you.
Aw.
That's nice.
Guys, for Julius Randle, for those guys or those individuals that hated on him or hate him, now let's appreciate who he really is to the team, what he really brings to the team.
Okay, fair
I
point.
Understand that he has his flaws, just like a lot of players do. But one thing about Julius Randle is that he played the minutes, and he played them all the way to the end. And now we can see how valuable he is to this team, you know?
I agree. And you know what? He wanted to play every game, didn't believe in load management, and he's a horse. And not just a horse. I love when people go, oh, this guy, he's an innings eater. Yeah, okay. Does he have a 5.0 ERA? I don't need him eating my innings if he's giving up 5 runs every 9 innings. But this Julius Randle was not an innings eater. He was an excellent player. He was an all-star. He finished in the MVP voting a couple of years ago, I think in the top 5. This guy's a great, great player who wants to play every day and every minute. And this is the first extended period of time that we've had with him as a Knick where he's been out. And it's showing you how important he is. Showing you how important the guy is. Let's go to Carl in Queens. Carl.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I'm pretty sure yesterday it was with you, Don, and Dan. Someone brought up that OG is more important than Julius to come back, or that he prefers him to come back faster. I disagree, because I think we need the points. Our defense isn't really the problem. I mean, look at the games we've lost. I mean, defensively, I mean, besides yesterday, I guess, we need the points more than the defense, because they work like, you know, D-A-W-G-S's dogs on defense. But also, Don, I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you remember, last week I called about the Philly game. And yeah. You were right. I think I'm going to make it a yearly thing. It was amazing. Waving, I did wave goodbye to all the Sixer fans leaving in like the seventh, in 7 minutes to go in the fourth. But,
did you get your face
punched
in?
Yeah, that whole complex. No, I did not.
Good.
that whole complex they got over there, guys, is beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it really does. They do a terrific job. But your experience was fine. You didn't feel unsafe at all?
Not at all. It was like 35% Knicks fans. You know, like I said, in the fourth quarter, it was like a home game.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time and you weren't injured. I wouldn't wave goodbye like that in a really important game because they might wave goodbye to you.
Yeah, you never know. You never, ever know.
I just, listen, you do what you want to do at your home stadium or your home arena. I think you got to be a little respectful when you go to somebody's house.
I agree.
A little respectful.
A little bit of
sounded to me that Carl had a lot of protection because a lot of Knicks fans were there. So that probably helped.
Another nickname I've heard for the kid is Skim Duncan is also out there.
You like that one?
I don't hate it.
We've got Larry Bird. Yeah. We've got Skim Duncan, and we've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You guys seem to like Larry Bird the most.
They all go in different ways. Like, he's the Kareem is probably that one is playing into the fact that he's white and wears the goggles.
Right.
Number two, Larry Blurred, is playing into the fact that he's wearing the glasses and he goes to Indiana State. He's a 6'10 white guy who goes to Indiana State. And then Skim Duncan is a play on skim milk, again, white. But if you watch him play, Don, his game will give you some Duncan-ish moments, too, the way he sort of moves without the ball, et cetera. So
you don't even know which one you like the most.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. It's given me things to be excited about come March. If only we were doing some sort of, you know, March college basketball live show where we can hang out with
people.
We
are. Dude, we are.
We are?
Yes.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
It's the 15th, right, Anthony?
Oh, yeah.
Friday the March 15th. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's 2 weeks from today.
All the way back in from Pittsburgh, I think.
You know what? Unbelievable commitment from Don. They said, Don, take the day. You're traveling. Don said, no. I don't miss.
The show's more important than my day.
He said, I don't miss a K-show. And, you know, there's no K-show more important than a college basketball live K-show. I'll be there.
If you think we're just, like, goofing right now, we've had Don, right, tell very important people that invited him to very important things, no, I'm good. The show's more important.
That's right.
It is.
I'm not lying. Am I right, Peter?
No.
No, and I'd say I probably only need a couple of weeks before I end up revealing the whole thing anyway. But if people could know the way yesterday played out and how perfect it was, it's anything you think about this show, if you ever think it's like a gimmick, and it's not real, I just know it's all real. Everything is real.
And everything is beautiful in its own way.
Wow, that is deep. And Michael, last night, made a surprise appearance at a dinner that I was having.
I told you I would, but Peter doesn't think that I do anything outside the realm of work. And that I went the extra mile to go say hello, I think really stunned him. You should have seen his face, Don. He was absolutely, like, blown away.
You tell me, Don, if you think this is going to happen. Right. I mentioned to you guys casually that I'm having my over-the-top podcast, which you can find wherever you find podcasts, me and former K-Show alum Michelle Beadle talking about like pop culture and sports topics for about 45 minutes once a week. It's really fun. It's me just getting to hang with Beadle every week. So we had a dinner. She's normally traveling. She's in L.A. She's in San Antonio. She comes here sometimes. We'd never seen each other, the whole team, since the show started. So last night we had a show dinner. I mentioned this to Michael that was happening, and he said, I'll be in the city. Maybe I'll stop by.
And he thought that was just me being, you know, a phony.
And then yesterday he texted me, where's
dinner?
Based
on that, I would expect you to show up. I didn't realize that you had said it that way.
Which way? Maybe I'll stop by.
You made it seem like it was going to be way more of a Hail Mary. The way you told it, I would expect Michael to come by.
No,
I'd be disappointed if he didn't. Not rip him for it, but I wouldn't be shocked if he came in the room when he said something like that.
But he sent me a text and said, where are you having dinner? I said, I'm at Maison Pickle, the delightful Maison Pickle on the Upper West Side. And dinner's wrapping up. And all of a sudden, I see Beetle look up like, oh, my God. And I look over and wearing a trench coat like he's a private detective who came out of the rain and like a
or a streaker.
That was not a trench coat, it was a camel hair coat, but thank you.
Whatever, you get the idea.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Michael Kay. Just popped up. Unreal.
Can I ask you one thing, Peter? So there were five people there, and the guy where I sat down, the guy right across from me.
Across from you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dave.
Very handsome. What's his deal? The guy should be a model.
Well, so I don't understand. Don, does Michael understand that when you say someone's attractive, what's their deal? It means you want a date. Does he know that?
No. What? No, I mean, is he available? A model or something like that? That's all I'm saying. He's good looking.
But that's not how it comes across, is what Peter's trying to say.
Well, that's not what I meant.
When you say he's very attractive, what's his deal?
Right. Yeah, what's his deal? That means date.
One? Is
correct.
He
thank you, Don.
I think you know I don't want to date him.
I don't know. Michael, I really don't know anymore. Yeah, don't know.
Everything's so fluid with you these days.
fluid being the operative word.
That is my friend Dave Easton. He's a he's an executive-y guy over at Wondery, and he's a lovely man. I don't know that he's ever modeled. He is, unfortunately, Michael, not available. He is married.
Good for him, and good for the girl he's married to. They have another nickname for Avila, and I think you might like this one the best.
Okay.
You ready? Because he can hit from the outside. They call him Steph Blurry.
You know what? It's not bad. It's not bad. But is it better than Larry Blurred?
Or Skim Duncan?
Because the thing is, you cannot remove... To me, Don, the key is... I think the reason Larry Blurred wins is you can't remove the Indiana State part
right,
from this.
That's the most creative.
And they have another... Greek just gave me another one. Milk Mamba.
Milk Mamba.
Not feeling that one.
No. Let's go back.
Oh, wow. Boy.
No.
Peter.
Yeah.
You think I have issues. I know you do.
I sure do.
What do you think I should do with these issues?
Well, this message is brought to you by BetterHelp. And guys, no matter whether you're Michael and you're still trying to figure out your interests and your habits as an older gentleman, or if you're a young man or woman trying to figure out day-to-day problems, work issues, relationship issues, trying to just find a healthy balance in your life, maybe therapy is something you should consider. I know a lot of people have like parents where therapy is just not an option. Like they grew up where the word therapy in their house was a bad word. Some sort of judgment would be passed. It would be seen as weakness. Not at all. In my opinion, what's weak is not being willing to talk about what's eating you up. And therapy can be a great way to help yourself out. If you've thought about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today, okay? And get started. 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Peter for 10% off.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
So after the show today, I'm going to co-host an event for an organization called Kids in Crisis, helping children that have fallen on hard times, families that might be in some trouble, and the kids are, you know, put into situations that they need assistance, and it's a yacht rock theme. So if you're watching on Yes right now, you'll see the little captain's hat that I have on, and I think it's adorable. It really is. So it's in Stanford. Obviously, it's too late for people to make plans to get there, but if you want to donate, I have it on Instagram and on Twitter as well. But the way the screen is set up, the hat is almost too high to see, but it's a cute little captain's hat, like the captain from Gilligan's Island.
I know, but it's way, way too small.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. That's the funny part of it. I have a regular size hat. Let me duck down a little bit so you can see.
I'm a big yacht rock guy.
You are?
Yeah, no, listen, I can sit there and listen to Ambrosia, Little Orleans.
Little Orleans.
I'm a little, I do... Me and Mike Brown here at the station. Sometimes we'll just get together and just listen to old 70s, early 80s yacht rock tunes. Used to drive Andrew Gunling crazy.
Why? What's wrong with Andrew Gunling?
He just wasn't a fan. He would storm out of the room. He'd be disgusted with us.
I'm a big fan. Don, you should have come with me to Kenny Loggins.
Oh, that's a big yacht rock guy right there.
I mean, it's practically the pioneer of the genre. It wasn't yacht rock. You know what, though? I'm surprised you even say the words yacht rock. It's a fugazi type.
I know. It just, but I do, you know, the channel on Sirius. What I do like those songs. I wish they'd come up with another name, though.
Well, there
why
it was
you like
it,
yacht rock.
It was Blue Eyed Soul, which also sort of a little problematic.
That's called Whitish Wednesday.
Exactly. Why don't I like yacht rock? Because it was made up like 10 years ago. It's just not what it's not the genre. It's not really what it is.
Well, I mean, they just put a name to it, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
But that has meaning.
And Steph Blurry.
See, but you see how you can break down what that is? Like, I've never listened to yacht rock on a yacht. I don't know anyone who ever has.
You've never been on a yacht.
I don't know if I have.
You haven't earned the right to be on a yacht.
Earn the right? How dare you, sir?
You don't have that kind of wealth. You're not Jeff Bezos.
But if you hear a good Pablo Cruz song, do you think you're on a yacht?
I don't know who Pablo Cruz is.
I got to think of one of those. It's just the name of the group. It's not a person.
Pablo Cruz?
Yeah. So look it up. Check it out.
Let's go to the phones.
Put in your Spotify. Play a few bars before Yes gets upset.
Pablo Cruz. All right.
Rich in Westchester. Rich.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I agree with you that the Knicks are like at a weird point in their season. But I think as much as we've loved this team this year, they've been so consistent. And now this guy Bogdanovich and Burks have not been consistent at all. I mean, last night they were coming back, and he missed like six shots in a row in the second quarter, and they just couldn't catch up. So I think we have to be a little bit. Go back to the R.J. Barrett days, and every once in a while we have to be a little bit negative about some guys that play on the Knicks, because those two guys have not done it. They were supposed to bring points to the lineup, and they haven't done it.
Well, I mean, it's not. I think Burks has been more of a problem than Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich did have that one game where he was 7 for 7 or 6 for 6 from three, but you know, yesterday you look at Josh Hart's numbers, right? So he played 47 minutes, so 1 minute on the bench, but it was actually 47 plus. I think he was 4 for 17 from the field. So, I mean, that's not going to get it done either. These guys are exhausting themselves.
No, they are.
And Bogdanovich and Burks are playing minutes that they shouldn't be playing. They're supposed to be the second unit. And they are actually the second unit, but they're playing more minutes than they should. So they're going to get exposed for anything that might not be right. Everybody is lifting too much weight. See, they should not be playing this much.
You know what? The analogy that I like was thinking of, especially last night, when you see these guys, they're all asking to do too much. It's kind of like what happened to the Mets last year when Diaz went down. You can look and say, well, there wasn't many save situations. Did Diaz's injury directly affect from the closer position? But when everybody is asked to do a little bit more to compensate for it, you get exposed. Everybody's got their roles. And if you're asked to do more than that, well, then that's when you're going to get exposed. And that's what's happening here. So guys are playing more minutes than they're supposed to. They're asking to shoot more than they usually would because the other guys are out. So it doesn't mean that those guys are bad, Michael. It just means that they're probably being asked to do too much than they're supposed to do.
And look at Josh Hart yesterday, Don. He had 18 rebounds. The guy's 6'4".
Right.
You know what kind of work that takes to get 18 rebounds? By the way, he broke the record of the most double-digit rebounding games by a Knick 6'4 or under that was previously held by Walt Frazier.
Wow.
So that's the kind of work this guy's been doing.
Yeah.
He shouldn't be having to play 47 minutes. This is not a knock on Josh Hart, and he's a much better shooter than 4-for-17. They're wearing him out of necessity. So nobody's to blame, but when you look and see why the Knicks losing these games, that's why. And you want to blame Bogdanović. The Knicks cut it to 4. They cut it to 6. Every time they did, Curry came down and drained to 3. Guy had 31 points. He's unbelievable. And Kuminga had a really big game, too.
And Dan asked me yesterday, are the Warriors still a thing, like as far as like a draw? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
It's still something when they come to the Garden. I know they're in, like, you know, battling in 10th place and all that, but they still have a cachet to them. That's why that game was on national television last night. It's still a big deal when the Warriors come here. They only come once a year, and even though they're not the same team and they're not winning a championship, it's still a thing. It felt like a thing last night.
It's game time, brought to you by Telemardew Irish Whiskey. One game tonight, and it's out west. The Devils face the Ducks at 10.
Awesome. Throw out the record books.
You have an ice pick today, Don? Because I know you nailed one yesterday.
I will have one. I will have one before the show is over.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I nailed it. It was a plus 125, right, Anthony? I went with the Kings winning in Vancouver.
Broke the books.
The Canucks. It was really.
Broke the books.
That was a nice little play last night. Now, that's nothing. Listen, the Devils are, you know, 5 points out of a playoff spot. The Ducks played last night. They're one of the worst teams in the league. Devils got to win that game. It's a 2003 Stanley Cup rematch.
It's a local game. You can't do it.
And also, if I pick the Devils. There's no value there, right, Anthony? There's no value on the Devils winning that game.
I could look, but I don't think there is.
No.
Well, that's game time, brought to you by Telemardew Irish Whiskey, because when it's game time,
sure,
it's Tully time.
Always.
Telemardew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Telemardew or try the brand new Telemardew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Telemardew responsibly.
You want an example why that Devil game is a must win for the Devils?
Yes, please.
They're on the money line on the road at minus 280.
So they're expected to win.
Yeah, so there's no value in picking the Devils tonight.
And you wouldn't do it anyway because you have ethics and morals.
I have integrity, yes.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.